If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, I usually have a handout. I apologize. I did not bring that with me this morning, but we will continue on. So Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 9. We'll read the whole text here this morning. Let me find one more thing here. Okay, so we've been looking at this summer at this subject of prayer, and we've considered it from various aspects. In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at it from this perspective of the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. It might better be termed the Lord's Prayer for His disciples, or an example of the Lord's Prayer. It's not one that the Lord would have prayed Himself. In fact, when He introduces it, do you remember how He introduces it here? When you pray, pray thus. So pray in this way. So He doesn't. You know, that's not the way. He wouldn't pray this way. There's certain things in here that He wouldn't say. He has not sinned against anybody. He hasn't transgressed anybody. But it is the pattern that we should follow. And it's important to know this pattern. By the way, it's a pattern of prayer, and it's important to know the pattern because it's going to establish really what our relationship is with God. In other words, looking at this prayer gives you an insight into who we are and who God is. And in fact, particularly when I consider this one this morning that we're going to look at, which is on the idea of our daily bread, I'd like to answer with you five different questions. And these are the five questions. And once again, I apologize for not having a handout. If you like to take notes, these are the five questions. First of all, we're going to look at what does this say about God? I'll tell you all these as we go through these. But what does this say about God? Because when you consider this prayer, it's going to say something about God. When you think about it, if you go ask somebody something on this earth and you go and talk to them, you talk to them within the context of who they are. Not only in terms of their position, but their skills, their capabilities, their whatever it is, your relationship with them, it all changes. I see Daniel sitting back there. If Alcheo, I don't need you, you can go ahead and move. But if Alcheo was speaking to Daniel, he would speak differently than if he were speaking to me, right? Daniel's son, Alcheo, would speak differently. And so when we think about the context of prayer, we're thinking about what does this say about God in this way. We're also going to ask the question, what does this say about man? What does it say about us? Thirdly, why do we need to pray for this? Why is this included in this pattern of prayer? Fourthly, how can we foster this in our life? Because if we're supposed to pray it, then it must be something we need to develop in our life. It's something that's going to be happening in our life. And then the fifth thing is, how can this make us love God more? And today we're considering all of that from the perspective of, give us this day our daily bread. So let's read the text that's before us in Matthew chapter 6. And it says this, Pray in this way then, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's ask the Lord now to bless our time. Our Father, you are truly good, and you are benevolent, and we think of that particularly in the context of our daily bread, that you give us each day what it is that we have need of, and we thank you, Father, for that, that your knowledge of us allows you to know what our needs are, that your wisdom knows how you might dispense them, that your capabilities, omnipotence allows you, Father, to provide for any need that we have, Lord. And that your benevolence wraps all of that in that, that you do, in fact, do these things for us. Even when we ask amiss, Father, you give us those things that we have need of. But we do pray, Father, that we might ask rightly before you about all the things that we have need of and are concerned about upon this earth. So, Father, show us your will. Show us who you are in your person so that we might pray better before you. We thank you for the opportunity of prayer. We pray that we might use it on a regular basis. Might we not be lax in our prayer life? But might we come before you constantly, Lord, seeking you and your will in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So our text this morning, we're looking at this subject here. I'm not going to review everything we've covered in the past. But let me just give you a few things about this that we've already looked at. We've discussed the idea that we always address God first. So we address God, our Father who is in heaven. We address Him first. We are concerned with His name and His glory. That's what our concern is His name and His glory, not ours. So the prayer that follows from that will not be one of self-centeredness. You can, in other words, and when I say that, I say that you can pray rightly and say, Lord, give us what we have need of. That's not self-centered. That's still centered on God. In fact, what does a wicked man do in concerns of what they have need of? What do they do? Well, they don't ask God for it. And secondly, they just go get it themselves, right? It becomes self-reliance. So in other words, when we consider the context this morning of give us this day our daily bread, it's a right and good thing to ask the Lord for. We should petition the Lord in all these matters. We should seek after Him in all of these things. And that's what He calls upon us to do, and He will bless that. I was impressed even this past week reading through the Old Testament and saw two different kings in the Old Testament, Asa and I cannot remember the other one now. But Asa and the other one, and both of them came to a situation where they had great need. For Asa, it was that Egypt had come up and was coming to battle. And he prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord to deliver him from that situation. And the Lord gave great victory over that situation. Was that a right prayer for Asa to pray? It was. Now then later on in his life, a similar thing happened and he didn't. Instead, he went and made an alliance with the king of Syria, instead of once again consulting with the Lord. And that did not go well for him. It wasn't like a complete disaster, but it did not go well for him. In other words, we are to call upon the name of the Lord with our needs, whether they be great, like our enemies who come out against us, there's great, great danger here, or we have need of daily bread. And it's right to do so because in the context of seeking His name and His glory. That's the context of all this. So we're right to pray these things because our context is His name and His glory. It's also His kingdom and His authority. What does a king do for his, what does a good king do for his servants, his people? He looks out for them. He makes sure they have what they have need of. I mean, even Pharaoh in Egypt was concerned for his people when he had the dream. So he set Joseph over the whole situation and said, listen, you take care of all this. And so Joseph made sure that the people would have food to eat in the time of need. And so a king does this. A good king, a good leader does this for his people. We have a good king in our Father. And we want His will and His sovereignty that it's good for us. His will and His sovereignty say we will have everything that we have need of. So it's good for us to pray in this way. And then we can confidently ask Him for our needs, understanding that the fact that we do have those needs, so we acknowledge, Lord, we're needy. In fact, in those prayers that I mentioned by those kings of Israel and Judah, in both cases, they acknowledge, listen, we have great need. We're completely helpless here. We can't do anything about this situation, these enemies that have come up against us. And so in both cases, they were acknowledging their needs. We also are acknowledging our needs. Now the problem is most of us are quick to acknowledge our needs in times of great distress, like an enemy coming against us, right? We pray and we pray fervently. But what about the daily bread? What does our habit tend to be? Yeah, it's just a simple little thing. Lord, I can take care of this. You take care of the rest. You take care of the big things. Lord, I'll take care of this. He's taking care of that too. We have to understand that. He's taking care of that also. So we're acknowledging that we do have needs. We're acknowledging His ability to provide for those needs. And we are acknowledging His desire to provide for those needs. That not only does He have the ability, He actually wants to do that for His people. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are actually acknowledging the very character and capabilities of God. That's what we're doing. And He wants us to do that. And so this is right that we would pray these things. So let's talk now more depth about some of these things. First of all, what does this say about God? Well, the first thing it says is that we're in a relationship with Him. We are in a relationship with God. When it says, what does the statement say? Give who? Us. Give us this day our daily bread. Us is a group of people, right? Does God provide for the needs of all people? In a general way, He does for all people. But does He provide for the needs of all people specifically in their needs such as this? No, He doesn't. He does so because there's common grace upon all men, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But He's really causing the rain to fall for the just in that regard. In fact, the earth will cease to exist when what happens? When does the time on the earth end? When's that? When the righteous are removed. Okay, so in other words, when the elect are all saved, that's it. The time is up. There's no reason to continue the earth for the wicked. The earth doesn't exist for the wicked. The earth exists for the righteous. The earth exists for the elect. God's will exists for the elect, not for the sinners, not for the wicked. Now, he has a will about them, don't get me wrong. But his will, his benevolence, his acts upon the earth, his providing of for people exists for the people of God, not for the other people. They benefit from it. So we're called the salt of the earth. It preserves the earth. But when the salt's removed, the earth doesn't continue on. In other words, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, that's a specific group of people talking here. A group of people who already have said, our Father, who is in heaven. That's the context. That's who's praying this prayer here. The context is that. Now, obviously, this is different than the hypocrites. He just had been talking, remember. Pastor taught through this in the first couple of weeks this summer. He had just been talking about the hypocrites and the Gentiles, and that we're different from who they are. We're not hypocritical. We're certainly not supposed to be hypocritical. We are not Gentiles. We are not the outsiders praying in vain repetitions. We're praying effectively to our Father who's listening to us in all of these matters. And what makes us different? Because we have a Father in heaven. We have a relationship that's been established by a king. He calls us his sons, his daughters. That's why we can say, give us this day our daily bread. And the reason he would give to us is because he is our Father. And and as his children in this relationship, we look to him to provide for our needs in all things. Do you follow that? That God is our Father and he wants to give you these things. How many of you are parents out there in some way or have been parents or something like that? A lot of parents here, right? Okay, all you ones that are not parents know this. Your parents are all concerned about your needs, the children's needs. They think about them. It dominates their thoughts. They're concerned about it. They worry about it. All of those things they're concerned about. Listen, we pale in comparison to the Father in heaven. Because sometimes we get forgetful or we get self-centered or we get busy doing other things and we don't take care of the children's needs. Or we're not capable to provide for the children's needs. Or whatever else. Our Father in heaven is concerned about our needs, and we're in a relationship with him, with that king that can provide for all things. And secondly, it says this. So first thing it says about God is that we're in a relationship with him. Do you follow that? Okay, the next thing is that he's in tune with our needs. In other words, he actually knows what our needs are. In that relationship, which is a perfect relationship, that he has withheld nothing from us, even his own son, in that relationship, he is in tune with our needs. He understands what they are. Not only does he know what our needs are, he knows what are actually good for us as a response to those needs. See, we don't know sometimes what is good for us as a response to those needs. So a young man might pray and say, Lord, give me a wife. And he eyes that woman up over there and says, now that's the one I'd like to have right there. You know, that's the one. And he thinks that's what would be good for him. The Lord knows, no, it's not that one. It's this one over here. This one over here is the one that's good for you. And he knows what that need is, and he will provide for it. He knows it. In fact, what did it say in verse 8 of this same chapter? He knows it before you even ask. He knows your needs before you've even asked for the thing in all of this. Do you remember back in the Garden of Eden when God... How did Adam end up with a wife? God saw his need. And he provided it. And now, Adam never asked for that, did he? I'm not saying he shouldn't have asked for it. I'm not saying, like, wow, he got something he didn't want. I'm simply saying that God noticed the need of Adam. When I say noticed, it's not like he didn't know about it already. He acknowledged the need of Adam long before Adam ever acknowledged that need himself. God knows our needs before we ever even ask them. We're not asking him so that we tell him something he doesn't know. We're asking him to acknowledge our dependence upon him as our Father. And acknowledge that we can't do it ourselves. It's not like it's some sort of a ritual thing we're doing where we say, well, I've got to do this to do this or something like that. No. We're acknowledging that we can't provide for ourselves, and we're acknowledging that he can and will provide for us in that need. When we say, give us this day our daily bread. So he knows that man has a need, and he knows it even before man has a need. If you look later on in this chapter of Matthew 6, 25 through 34, if we were to scroll down through there and take a look at it, it says, for this reason I say to you, Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, it doesn't mean we don't pray for those things. It just means don't get worked up about them. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? He's taking care of them. He knows their needs. And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. See, everybody wants these things. The question is, how are you acknowledging how they're received, and how do you get them? You don't get them by your own efforts. You get them by God's blessing, even if your efforts are involved in those blessings. Do you understand the fact that in order to have daily bread, so we all eat, right? Everybody probably had breakfast this morning. Where did that food come from? Where did that sustenance come from? Well, yeah, if you're sitting in this room, you say all from God. But if you're the normal person, you say, well, it came from a giant eagle is where it came from. I picked it up yesterday. Or I stopped on the way over at Starbucks and I had myself I don't know what they sell in there anymore. But, they had something in there with it. They had a bear claw with it. So I had a bear claw and a cup of coffee. That's what I had. And you say, well, that's how I got those things. See, the Gentiles would say that. We don't say that. We say that the Lord has provided these things for us in all of this. So everybody's seeking these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the first thing is you seek his kingdom, which we've already prayed for that, by the way, in this prayer. His righteousness, his will being done in our life, that's righteousness. And then the daily bread comes. Do you follow that? See, it's all working together. This is the perfect sermon, by the way, the Sermon on the Mount, the perfect sermon and the perfect theology and the perfect practical application is all coming out in all of this by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's what we have here then, is we consider the fact that he is in tune with our needs in all these things, God is more in tune with our needs. The second thing we could say about this in this area, God is more in tune with our needs and knows them better than we do. We have to acknowledge that when we pray. We might pray for something, and we might even get fairly specific about something in our prayer. But we should understand the fact that God knows better what our needs are than what we do. We don't even know our own heart. How can we possibly know what we have need of? But God actually knows our heart and knows what we have need of. Let me turn to James chapter 4, verse 3. I'll have to do most of the reading today, but I might assign or ask somebody to do something. But James 4 and verse 3, if you don't turn there, it's fine. It says, you ask, this is talking about prayer. He says, you ask and you do not receive. Why? Why do you ask? So you're asking, that's good. You're asking the Lord, but you don't receive. Why don't you get what you ask for? Why? Because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now you may not even know you're doing that, but that's what we tend to do. Because we tend to do things that are centered on ourselves. Even those that are saved, even those that have the Holy Spirit within them and have that warring within their flesh says, I want this. And the Spirit says, no, you want this. And then we pray and we get this weird mixture of things that happen in our prayers. That's what happens. And the fact is we sometimes don't get what we want or what we ask for because we've asked out of our own motives, out of our own flesh. So we have to be in tune with the will of God and be open to receiving what he would provide. In some respects, we have to be a little bit careful about telling God what the solution is in the prayer. Do you get what I'm saying? We don't tell him what the solution is. We tell him what the need is. The Old Testament, once again, if I were to point back to Hezekiah, when he was under attack, and he laid out the letter from Sennacherib and said, Lord, this is what he's saying he's going to do. Now you take care of this. I don't know how you're going to take care of it, but you take care of this. Same thing was true in the prayer that I wish I could remember the king, but it was those that came up from the east, the Ammonites and the Edomites came up against them. And the Lord said, listen, go out tomorrow morning and just stand there in this valley and watch, and I'm just going to show you what I'm going to do. You don't have to do anything. They didn't ask for the solution. He didn't tell them what the solution was. He just said, I'm going to take care of this. And they go out there the next morning and found out that those that had been coming out to battle against them fell into battle with each other and in fought within themselves and killed every one of themselves. So that there was nothing to do but pick up the spoil, and took them 3 days to bring it back to Jerusalem, how much stuff they got. But all they did was say, Lord, we're helpless. We can't do anything about this. This is our prayer before the Lord. So this is what this says about God. That first of all, secondly, that what we've just looked at is the idea that he is in tune with our needs more than anything we can say. And firstly, that we are in a relationship with him. So that's what it says about God and all this. Well, let's move on. You following so far? Any questions or comments? Okay, let's move on now to what does this say about man? So what's this say about us? We saw what it says about God, that we're in a relationship, that he knows our needs, and that he's better in tune with him than we are. Secondly, what does it say about man? That he's very needy. We're very, very needy. Our needs are very basic, just our daily bread. And yet, even of that, we can't provide for ourselves. Consider this fact. Once again, you had breakfast this morning, and you might say, well, I got it from Giant Eagle. Well, how'd you get to Giant Eagle? Well, I drove in my car. Oh, so you have a car. Oh, is that right? Okay. And you didn't have any sickness yesterday. You were able to go to Giant Eagle, right? Your health was good. And your health for the last several months has been good, that you were able to work. Oh, you have a job too. Oh, that's good. Oh, you have a family that helps you out. So when you're away at the job, things are taken care of at the house. See, all those things are the blessing of God. Oh, there's no war going on in your country, that you're actually able to go to a store in peace and just buy things and have a job and not worry about somebody coming in and taking your stuff. Oh, you live in a safe neighborhood. Nobody comes in and takes your stuff. Do you see the fact that when we say, give us this day our daily bread, it's actually all those things behind it are also present. See, we say, well, there's no war, there's no famine, there's none of this, there's none of that. None of that's going on. I just go to the store and get my bread. Look how good I am. No, no, the Lord's provided for all this so that you can go do this little tiny thing. So when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're very, very needy people. We needed all that stuff all the way back through there that were able us to go and just buy bread at a store. Do you follow that? That's what we get when we have a relationship with God. That our needs are very basic, but even the easiest thing must be provided by God. And that's true for everybody, by the way. Our ability to care for ourselves for even a day is not possible. How long does it take for a person to get hungry? It's not very long. I work with guys. They are so dependent on lunch. They start complaining if we have to work through lunch and nobody provided for their lunch. They actually will decline meetings if it's going to go through lunch, if nobody's providing for lunch. You know, they have to have their lunch. Now, they just had breakfast a few hours before, but they have to have that lunch. Our ability to care for ourselves for even a day is not possible. We won't go a day without eating. You know, we say people back in, you know, maybe even people today, they might fast for a day of fasting and prayer. Boy, it's difficult for them. Just difficult. You know, we have to look to him like an infant to a parent and say, Lord, we need our food. We need our milk. We need what we have need of. We can't get it for ourselves in all of this. So it says about man that we're very, very needy. It says also in this need that he wants us to lean upon him, not our own understanding or our perceived abilities in all of this. Now, let me draw a parallel to the manna. Let's go back. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. And you should turn here because you need to see this. Exodus chapter 16. And we'll actually kind of look at several verses here. And I'm just going to get myself set here. Exodus chapter 16. And it says, they set out then from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which has been Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. It's funny, the other night our elders meeting, not this specific verse came up, but twice the children of Israel did exactly what happens next. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, is that correct? Did they really sit by the pots of meat and eat bread to the full down in Egypt that it was so wonderful? Did they paint this idyllic picture? They eulogize, really, how great it was back in Egypt, and it was none of that. It was none of those None of those things. But that's what they make it out to be in all of this. They make it out to be like it was this wonderful experience, this great scenario that they were in, and it was actually none of those things. So they didn't even know themselves. They already are making that. They didn't even know themselves. Didn't even know their history. Didn't even know what had happened in the past. Even though it had been repeated to them over and over again. The Passover and the deliverance from Egypt was the greatest event of the Old Testament, you could argue. Easily. It was repeated every year with, guess what, a Passover meal to mark this. And yet they, for some reason, completely forgot about how bad it was down there. They don't even know themselves. They don't even know their own needs in all of this. This is what we're considering. They don't even know themselves or their own needs in all this. So let's go on. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction." In other words, daily bread and receiving of daily bread, get this, is part of our obedience to the Lord. Do you see how he's testing them? Will they follow my instruction in this? To receive this daily bread, to go out and pick it up once a day and take it in? Will they follow my instruction in the matter? Our receiving of our daily bread is part of our obedience to God. That we would receive it and not want more and not want to take more and not want to take somebody else's and all those things and be thankful for it. That is part of what we're talking about here in all of this. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. What does that say? Absolutely. He provides two things. To follow his law, because the law was, don't do work on the Sabbath. Don't go out and gather those things on the Sabbath. Don't do that. He provided for them to follow the law. And secondly, he provided exactly what they needed every single day. He didn't provide them with a week's worth of food, or a month's worth of food, or a year's worth of food. He provided them with enough for that day, except for on the sixth day, or the last day, where he'd say, no, you're going to have more this day, so that on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, you won't have to work. He gives them exactly what they have need of every single day and does it in such a way that they can be obedient to his law. He does the same thing for us today. Now, what happens when we get a month's worth of food? What's that? Well, it spoils. That's exactly right. Of course, say we got so many preservatives and things. But what happens to us when we get a month's worth of food? What? We forget. I'll tell you how long we forget. We forget for 30 days. That's how long we forget. Because on the 30th day, when the month's worth of food is just about up, we say, Lord, I need some more. We forget where it came from for 30 days. We need to be daily dependent upon the Lord. He's providing for daily sustenance exactly what we have need of in such a way that we can be obedient. And it is a test of obedience in this so that we can follow after him. Let's continue on reading now. It's verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord." Do you see how the glory of the Lord is shown by his giving of what we have need? "For years your grumblings against the Lord and what we are, what you grumble against us." And Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumblings." So the purpose in all of that we just now read through, well, maybe I should say this, about this. The Lord hears them in all of this. Now, unfortunately, what was he hearing the whole time? The grumblings. Now, what could they have done, and they would have gotten the same thing, but in a way better manner? They could have just asked. See, they could have just prayed and asked, "Lord, we have needs. Will you provide for us?" But instead, it's like, we have needs, and nobody's providing for us. Would there be that we were sitting back by the pots of meat in Egypt? Do you see how far off people get? And this is easy for us to get off. We start grumbling and complaining. Our first action is to grumble and complain. Our first action should be to say, "Father, give us this day our daily bread. We have need. Give us what we have need of, Lord. Whatever it is you provide, it will be good." That's what we should do. So they grumble and they complain instead of that. Let's continue on now reading. Let's read verse 9 again. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumblings. It came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. What's the purpose of God giving daily bread for? To acknowledge Him, to show His glory. Each and every day, each and every meal we take part in is actually an example of the glory of God. Every single bit of it is an example of the glory of God, of the honor of God. That's what we're doing. When we sit down to eat our lunch this afternoon and we pray, we need to be mindful of the fact that this isn't just for us, like, oh, we had something needed and Lord happened to have some extra and so He gave some to us. No, no, no. The Lord is actually displaying His glory when He gives us each and every meal. And that's what He's doing right here. And that's what He's doing for us in our daily life, in everything that we do. It was the perfect size, once again, the perfect size for the worship of God. And then if we pop down to verses 16 through 18, it says, this is what the Lord has commanded, gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You should take an omer apiece according to the number of persons of you has in his tent, each of you has in his tent. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Everybody got exactly what they were supposed to get. Nobody went miss. Nobody said, boy, I didn't get enough to eat. You know, I kind of missed out. I showed up late for the meal, and I didn't get enough to eat. That didn't happen here. Everybody got exactly what they were supposed to get in all of this manner. So it says about man that we're very, very needy. It says that God is going to display His glory, that He hears us. We shouldn't grumble and complain. Let's just pray, knowing that the good character of God will come through, that He will be faithful. Let's do that. Let's acknowledge Him as our Father. Let's acknowledge Him as a benevolent King, as has already been stated in this prayer. And let's know the fact that it's going to be a perfect size for the needs that we have, both worship as well as our own needs of sustenance, our own needs on this earth. And finally, note the fact that it was a daily food. It would last no longer than that. Verses 20 through 21. But they didn't. So they weren't supposed to, you know, verse 19 says, let no man leave any of it till morning. But they did not listen. Here's what people do. They didn't listen to Moses. Instead, they said, man, that was pretty good stuff. Let's save a little bit for tomorrow. See, when you save a little bit for tomorrow, what are you thinking? You won't get any tomorrow. There won't be enough tomorrow. You're questioning now the character and the glory and the honor of God and all that. That's what you're doing. And you're disobeying the direct command of God. He said, don't keep it. Don't leave it. So verse 20, they didn't listen to Moses, and some have left it till the morning, and it bred worms, it became foul, and Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat, but when the sun grew hot, it would melt. It wouldn't be there anymore. But they got exactly what they were supposed to get every single day. And the same thing is true for us today. Once again, when we get too much, I'm not going to say it develops worms and whatnot, but I will tell you our tendency is to forget where it came from, that the Lord has provided this. Instead, we start thinking that we have done it. We act like Nebuchadnezzar looking at the castles. All we're looking at is a cupboard full of some bread. But we look at it like Nebuchadnezzar did, looking at all his kingdom and saying, Lord, look, or he didn't even say, Lord, look what I've built. Look at all this stuff I've done over here. And the Lord had to show him, no, 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 you're a needy man before me. I'll put you out like a beast in the field and you'll know your need before me, is really what he did. And so we have to deal with that. And we have to be cognizant of the fact that he gives us exactly what we have need of each and every day. And if some is left till tomorrow, guess what? It still came from the Lord. And He's preserving it. Nobody stole it. There was no fire in your house. Nothing bad happened. It's still there because the Lord preserved it. Do you follow that? Do you get the glory of God in all of this? That's what I want you to get out of this, is the glory of God. Well, let's move on now. Secondly, it says this. So what does it say about man? The second thing it says is this, that he needs the Lord to examine him and tell him what his true needs are. Once again, we already read in James, we don't know the true needs of our heart. We don't really, our heart doesn't deal with us very well sometimes. We struggle with knowing what we have need of. He knows what we have need. We know we want something, and we start to deceive ourselves, and we even start to rationalize, well, the Lord would want me to have that. Wouldn't He want me to have that? I mean, the sinner next door has got that. Why wouldn't the Lord want me to have that? Surely I'm as good as that sinner next door. Why wouldn't I get that? And we start to rationalize those things, and we talk ourselves into things that we don't have need. And our needs often result in sin for and sin for us, excuse me, and sin for us in this. It causes us difficulties. We start to sin as a result of getting those things. It takes us away from what we should focus on. And then the third thing about this, what does it say about man? It says that he can honor God even while having his needs met. We can actually honor God in all this. There's no reason to live the life of an ascetic. You know what that is? That's a person who says, I have to deny myself of all these things upon this earth in order to honor and glorify God. We don't need to deny ourselves of all things on this earth in order to glorify God. He will give us things that we need, and he'll even give us more than we need. He's going to give us so many things we've never asked for and so many blessings we never even considered. We don't have to live a life where we deny ourselves of everything upon this earth. Now, we can't rely upon anything on this earth. And we can't think like, well, I've got to get it for myself or anything like that. Whatever the Lord gives us, though, he wants us to have it. He's declared it to be good. There's nothing that would keep us from eating that. There's no reason to live that life, in other words, in all of this. In fact, there's some that, you know, some think that, you know, if you ask for anything, it's a sign of self-centeredness. It's not. It's actually a respect of God, and it shows the fact that we have a need upon him, that we are dependent upon him for all these things. God does not exist to take care of us. Let's understand that. God does not exist to take care of you or me, but he does delight in taking care of you and me. He delights in doing so. If we approach him correctly, not like those Israelites with grumblings, but if we approach him correctly, he delights to take care of us. He wants to. He wants us to come before him, to acknowledge our need of him in our relationship with him as our father. Just like, you know, you fathers out there, you like it when your sons, your kids come to you and say, Daddy, can you help me with something? Now, sometimes it's inconvenient and sometimes we're tired and whatnot, but we like the fact that we can help. We like to be helpful. And that's the way that God is, in a far, far better way than what we are. Well, thirdly, let's move on now. Why do we need to pray for this? Well, we've kind of gotten this already, because it's an acknowledgement of our need of him. We actually need him. That's what we have to do. It's not a false acknowledgement, by the way. It's genuine. We really do have need of him. It's not a false acknowledgement. Not like I say, well, I guess I got to say this to get a meal. No, no. We're saying it because it's true. We need him to provide our daily bread in all of these things. Even from our basic bread, you know, to the finest meal, it's all of him. You go out and have a fine meal at, you know, Morton Steakhouse or Don's Pomeroy House or somewhere like that. You go to this very nice restaurant and it's wonderful. You had just as the Lord provided that, and our need of that, whatever that was that the Lord provided, was every bit the same as daily bread, the piece of bread, you piece of toast in the morning that you eat. It's all the same. It's not a false acknowledgement in any way. The reason we do not pray this, why, is because we're ungrateful, and we assume we provide things for ourselves. We start to think, well, I can do this myself, Lord. I've got this. And we've already talked about it this morning. You know, hunger is a powerful situation to be in, and it does make us sit up and say, well, I've got needs here. I've got concerns about this. You know, if you were stuck out in the wilderness and you didn't have anything to eat, you'd suddenly become very aware of what food was. You know, you may not think about it day in and day out because it's so prevalent and so available. But when you have a need, you have a great need of it. And man naturally thinks of himself as self-reliant. You know, what did Adam do when he sinned? What did he do? He made his own covering. Self-reliant. I'm going to make this myself. I don't need the Lord to provide anything for me. Was it a suitable covering? No, it wasn't a suitable covering. And the Lord provided a suitable covering for him. See, we try to become self-reliant, but it's never going to be as good as what the Lord's going to give us. Even at the end, the judgment seat, what's the last claim of man before the judgment seat? I know Chris Pierre spoke on this one, so I'm not asking you to answer it, but what's the last claim of man before the judgment seat? Lord, haven't we, what, done all these things? See, the last claim of man is self-reliance, even before the judgment seat. The first act of man in sin is self-reliance. I'll make my own covering. The last act of man is self-reliance, haven't I done? It's all about us, and it's all about what we do. This prayer is the opposite of that. It's, Lord, give us this day the simplest of things that I can't even provide for myself. Daily bread. Very simple thing. We're constantly self-reliant. But we have to pray this. We have to build this in ourselves in all of this. One of the problems of our society is we're not agriculturally based. You know, if you were agriculturally based, which most of society was until about 120 years ago or so, something like that, society was all agricultural based. Most people worked on a farm, And when you work on a farm, you realize that you can do everything right and have nothing to show for it. You could show up and plant, prepare the ground, and plant, and do all that work, and you can weed, and you can work from morning to night every single day. But if drought comes, floods come, war comes, it's all gone. You did everything you were supposed to do, but you have nothing to show for it. Do you follow that? See, we don't have that today. We just go to the store, and if they don't have something, you know what we do? We go on Amazon.com and we order it. That's what we do, right? Because it's so simple. We don't even leave the house. So the point is that we've forgotten the fact that the Lord is providing for all these things, the entire chain all the way through, and He's blessing our work. We're not supposed to be lazy, but He's blessing our work in all of this. He's watching over it. It acknowledges our power, His power over all creation as well. When we pray this, why do we need to pray this? Because it acknowledges His power of all creation. Martin Luther said this about the meaning of daily bread. Everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, yard, fields, cattle, money, possessions, a devout spouse, devout children, devout employees, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the other things like these. In other words, our entire life is our daily bread. Yes, we're thinking about daily bread here, the simplest of things. But understand this, our whole life is this. Everything in your life is provided by God. You have needs in every area of your life. And you have need to go to the Lord and ask Him about every one of these areas of life. So we don't just simply make it short and say, we don't pray vain repetitions like the Gentiles and just repeat this prayer over and over again. We get specific about our needs, don't we? The woman that came to the Lord and He said, you know, the dogs, she was a Gentile woman, and she kept asking and begging and wanting this thing. The Lord, and, you know, and somebody said, listen, you're a Gentile, you don't get anything. So even the dogs get something from the table in all of this. And so we have to understand the fact that we have a great need to pursue God and to be specific. She had a specific request and she kept repeating it. She kept repeating it over and over again. And so we get specific about our requests. Yes, it's daily bread, but it's all these other things too. Weather and government and all those things we just mentioned. So it's the food's the most basic staple, but the other things are intertwined and they all work together. Well, the last thing then, is this. How can we foster this in our life? How can we actually develop this in our life? Well, first of all, by daily remembering the blessings of God. We daily are to remember the blessings of God. The children of Israel were instructed to tell their children of the great deliverances they received. We talked about the Passover. That was once a year. We should do this daily. I don't mean celebrate a Passover daily. I mean daily remember what the Lord has done for us on that day. Know the fact. Acknowledge the fact. Lord, all these things came from You. Thank You for all of these things. The peacefulness of my home. The love of my wife. The obedience of my children, the job that I have, the health that I have, the car that works, all those things are coming from You, Lord, and without You, none of these things would be. Every one of these things. Yes, the Gentile next door doesn't pray and has all the same stuff, but all these things come from You, Lord, to both of us, the just and the unjust, for now. That's the way it's working in all this. So daily remembering all of this, we have to remember that good and perfect gifts come from where? Father of lights above. That's where they come from. The same Father we're praying to here. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Nothing comes to us unless it comes by that means. We should often take stock of what the Lord has already given us and be thankfulness in all of this. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This may seem like an odd text to look at, but 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll begin looking in verse 1. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4 and verse 1, it says this, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. So we have this point of people falling away. This is happening. This will happen. Then I want to drop down. Actually, well, read verse 2. By means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Then verse 3. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. That food and that marriage and all those things were created by God
For who? For those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer. So I guess the sandwich you eat that's unprayed for is unsanctified. That's what it's saying. I mean, the fact of the matter is we have to understand the fact that this was set aside for us specifically. This is provided for us. This is good for us. The Lord who is good above wants to give us every good and perfect gift, including that sandwich, including that Baraklar or whatever else it is that we have. All those things God is giving to us in this. So we have to understand the fact that He provides it, and if we receive it with thankfulness, we sanctify it from sin. It's not bad now. It could be bad for somebody. It's not bad for us because the Lord's given it to us. He's provided it for us, and we receive it gratefully in a good conscience with a good heart about it in all of this, not lying to ourselves about it. And we sanctify it, you know, through prayer and through the Word of God in this. So by making it a point, and then the final thing I'd say about this is this, under this idea of how can we foster this in our life. By making it a point to understand better the will of God and pray more effectively, thy will be done, even in these issues of simplicity and the ones of great importance. Your will be done in every single one of those situations. I don't know what that will is, but Lord, you do it. Let me understand the will of God better. It will make it easier to see the provisions of God when we see that the things we have are of His will and not of our efforts. See, if we start off the day saying, Lord, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and I'm going to get this, 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 and this. At the end of the day, will you have a heart of gratitude? No, because you had the plan all day to do it yourself. We start off the day with acknowledging our need, so that at the end of the day, when we have that need fulfilled, we say the Lord has provided it to us. And we develop then within ourselves a heart of gratitude towards God, knowing the truth. This is what's talking about here, sanctify it. By the word of God and a prayer, we now know the truth about the things we received that day and how we got them. Do you get that? Okay, last point then this morning. How can this make us love God more? Well, first of all, and it's pretty easy to see this, knowing that He will take care of us and provide for the things that we have need of. See, we want to love the Lord more. We want to be more drawn towards Him, more seeking after Him. And we'll do that by knowing that He's providing all the things that we have need of. Have you ever received something and you didn't get to thank the person? You didn't get to actually go and thank them? How does that make you feel? It might make you feel badly. Like, oh, I wish I'd have known that they did that for me. I didn't realize that. I would like to have gone and thanked them for that. I should go home and write them a card or call them or make sure I see them next week. Make a point to see them in all this. God wants to take care of us. We have to make a point of knowing that God is doing so, that He's providing for us in all these things. He will take care of us and provide for the things we have need of. Let's be thankful for that. Secondly, and it goes into that point, recounting the blessings which have already been given to us. Be mindful of what God's given to us. Don't be just on to the next thing. Now, Lord, thank you. You gave me this and this. Now I want this, this, and this. Instead, be, Lord, thank you for this, what you've given me. Now, whatever else you want to give me, Lord, that would be good. And then finally, it understands that Jesus Christ, and this is the key point, and I don't have any time to develop it, but you should get it. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. He's the greatest need that we have in all of these matters. He's the bread of life. And there is no greater gift that God could give than that. There's nothing bigger. Isn't that what it says in Romans? He didn't even spare His own Son. How much more will He give you all these other things? If He won't spare His own Son for you, you think He's going to withhold daily bread? He's not going to. He's already paid a cost far, far greater than that. He's given us His only begotten Son in all of this. It's also something to acknowledge as a powerful God. It acknowledges the great need of man in all of this. It acknowledges, in other words, think about it in the context of Jesus Christ as the bread of life. It acknowledges that He's a powerful God, that He can actually take upon Himself the form of man and actually represent us before God and be our bread, our living bread, so that if we partake of Him, we have eternal life. That He could actually become part of us and all this. He is a powerful God. It acknowledges the great need of man. Man has a great need of salvation. Now, you might think you're fulfilling for your food because you do an action and you get it. And you might think that you're fulfilling your need of clothing because you go to the store and you buy it and you get it. But you know what you'll never provide for? Your own salvation. A man will never provide for that. He may think I'm doing works. To the very end, he says, Lord, have we not done many great things in Your name? And the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. You were never my children, and I was never your father in all of this. We have a great need of Christ in all of this. It acknowledges the relationship he has with the called out people. He makes us sons so that we say, give us this day our daily bread. That's a group of people. And it provides for all their needs. Is there anything else he's going to withhold from us if he's already given us his son? No, there's nothing. He's given us everything, and he will continue to do so throughout eternity. He'll never stop. He can't stop. He won't stop giving, and we shouldn't stop being praying, thankful, grateful. We have to be all those things before him. We're his children. He's our father. He's providing. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. We've went about a minute over. We'll close in a word of prayer and look forward to the next, not only next week in this continued series, but also a pastor's message coming up. Our Father, we do bow before you this day, and we do acknowledge our great need of you and things both great and small. Lord, we can't provide for anything of ourselves. We're like little infants that just lay and just be there and don't do anything for ourselves, Father. We're not capable of doing anything for ourselves. We think we do, but Father, we know that you provide all things to us, from everything that is in that chain that leads up to us actually having a piece of bread, Father. Everything in that chain has been provided by you. We're thankful, Lord, that you are such a benevolent God, that your character comes forth so clearly in your scripture, and it comes forth so clearly in our experience of you. We do pray, Lord, that we might seek after you daily, many times a day, knowing that each day, Father, you are giving us what we have need of, and that it is perfect in what you give us. It is the perfect portion, and it is the perfect thing for us. And so, Father, might we be grateful for those things. Might you not be like those Israelites of the Old Testament that grumble and complain, but might we receive it gladly before you and seek after you in all matters. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.